every buck a lot of the money, Benny. See, she pick up on this here buck a lot of picking me. Hi, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And what a week it is. I mean, yesterday was Super Tuesday. Yeah, what a super day it was. Super, huh? You know my campaign slogan for 2016. Trump or Clinton? Hitler or Hitlery? And boy, oh boy, when you watched that freak show yesterday, that's all it is. It's liars, cowards, freaks, and fools. Welcome to the Presidential Reality Show. I listened to both of the speeches, of course, at the end of the day. Unfortunately, I have to watch that stuff so I know what I'm talking about. You can't just, you know, make stuff up as I go along here, but I got to listen to the facts. And the facts are, it was really a despicable display of low characters in listening to the things that they said. Among them, Trump, I'm going to build the biggest military that the world has ever seen anywhere, any place, anytime. Yep. And then Clinton went on about, oh, those great folks in Flint, Michigan, and how we have to support Obama, and how students are going there to help the people with the water and this and that. And I started thinking to myself, how come she's talking about Obama and Flint, Michigan, when all he did was give them $5 million? $5 million. Imagine $5 million. What is that? A couple of Obama's drone strikes? Nothing. No money for the people. And they brag about it. Boy, she went on and on about talking about the people in Flint and how they're how wonderful they are and how they're all working together. How come the government isn't there? How come Flint is rotting? Hey, you see what's going up there in Hoosick Falls in upstate New York on the Vermont-New York border? I used to go up in that way a lot. Yeah, there's this chemical plant, a French place. They make plastics, and they're dumping all this toxin into the water over there. And it's the same story when you read Flint anywhere, everywhere else. It's the local citizens start complaining, and then some low-life politician, we'll call him a mayor, a governor, a president, a chancellor, a prime minister, any of the freaks in the freak show, they dismiss the claims. And more people start getting sick, and they, well, let's look into it a little deeper. And then, of course, they come out with these rulings. They say, well, you know, we haven't found enough evidence, and, of course, the evidence keeps building, and it's way worse than what they reported. But what do they care? They don't care. So here she is, shooting her mouth off, talks about Flint, what people are doing, but not a word about how Obama turned his back on Flint. F. Flint, huh? Because that's what happened, boy. Flint got it. And now they're all using it. What disgusting lowlives these people are. Yeah. So when you look at the Clinton campaign, for example, and you see what's going on with it, and you listen to her little speech at the end of the night there, it was no longer that, you know, I'm fighting for you. Oh, and it's great, man. She's going after all. She picked up Bernie Sanders' speech. We're going to go after all those Wall Street people. go after the Wall Street people. Your husband and you are the ones responsible, your family, for destroying the Glass-Steagall Act. You're the people that are getting paid $300,000, $200,000 an hour. $300,000 an hour to speak to the Goldman Sachs gang and all the other banksters that you deregulated so they could steal our money. And here she is shooting her mouth off about how she's going to get tough with them. I mean, it's a disgrace. You could hear them BS for free all day long. You're going to pay them $300,000 an hour to hear the same BS you could hear all day long for free? How about calling it payoffs and bribes for selling out the nation? So now she's changed her course. And very interesting. Now it's going to be her first sentence, the first words out of her mouth last night, where she's going to break down barriers. The first sentence. That was it. And this country belongs to all of us, not people who think one way. And never, America never stopped being great, were her words. So, if you're a subscriber to the Trends Journal, you would have gotten our trend alert that went out yesterday before this. And the headline read, Warren Buffett, dead wrong on U.S. future, shilling for Clinton. So what happened was, over the weekend, Warren Buffett came out with his Berkshire Hathaway report. And in that report, he said that, quote, in an election year and candidates can't stop speaking about our country's problems, which of course only they can solve. As a result of this negative drumbeat, many Americans now believe that their children will not live as well as they do themselves. That view is dead wrong. The babies being born in America today are the luckiest crop in history. This is from Warren Buffett, the guy that's worth over $60 billion. And he goes on to highlight daddy. He said, you know, when I was born, you know, U.S. per capita growth, you know, is six times higher than it was in the 1930s, the year of his birth. I'm mentioning this because it ties back into Hitlery. Yes, Hitlery. You know, we came, we saw, he died. Yeah, the woman that launched the war that got us into the Libyan war, that destroyed Libya. Yeah, the woman who also supported the Iraq war, Afghan wars, Assad has to go wars, and her husband has more blood on his hands probably than Hannibal. Yeah, you forgot that Bosnian war, huh? Oh, that's right, she was dodging bullets in Bosnia, I forgot. Yeah, the Yugoslav war, how about Hillary Clinton's husband's war against Iraq? As soon as he got into office, people forgot this. He started bombing Baghdad. This is back in the 90s, the no-fly zones. The famous interview of Madeleine Albright, well, not all that bright, his Secretary of State. Oh, if only the women were in charge. I'm tired of hearing this gender, race, creed, and color thing as well. It's not about women. It's not about men. It's about people. And lowlifes come in all genders, races, creeds, and colors, and fine people do too. So here's Madeleine Albright being interviewed by Leslie Stahl on CBS 60 Minutes. And Leslie Stahl asks her, is the death of over 500,000 Iraqi children under the age of five worth the sanctions that President Clinton put on? Now remember, Madeleine is our Secretary of State. And by the way, just add up the last three secretaries of states. Then it went to, what is it, Condoleezza Rice? Oh, yeah, there's another peace and love one. The next mushroom cloud you see. Yeah, you remember that one, getting us into the Iraq war. Again, it's not about gender, race, creed, or color. Crazy people come in all of them. going back to Madeline, yes, the price of 500,000 dead Iraqi children was worth the sanctions. Oh, then he'll cross Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State. So now let's go back to Warren Buffett. This war hawk, this woman whose husband destroyed this country with NAFTA, deregulating the Federal Communications Act, so that now six companies own 90% of the media. Her husband that deregulated Glass-Steagall so the banks could rob us and enslave us. Oh, and then she talked about student loans? Yeah. It was Joe Biden and the Clinton administration that made it almost impossible. They put it into play, and then when Bush got elected, it got passed when Biden was senator of the that state down there, the loophole state for corporations, Delaware, where it makes it impossible virtually to get out of your debt. So you become an indentured servant. And there she is shooting her mouth off about how unjust this is, when they passed it and pushed it through. So, going back to Warren Buffett and Hillary Clinton and the presidential reality show, Buffett goes on to say that, again, he compares the 1930s Great Depression era with today. And then he says about how lucky the kids are to be born today. He said, Buffett also wrote that American kids will live far better than their parents did. Parents or parent? What is he talking about? Some 41% of children today are born to unwed mothers. 74% of women without bachelor degrees are women in the workforce. And they make up two-thirds of the low-wage workers. Which parents is he talking about? Is he talking about, you know, children born into these single-parent households that are experiencing unstable living arrangements, that live in poverty and have socioeconomic emotional problems, according to Child Trends Data Bank? Or the parents that are raising them that are among the 51% of Americans earning less than $30,000 per year? Is he talking about the median household income, Buffett? I mean, is this guy so detached from Main Street that he only can see Wall Street? I doubt it. He's a very smart guy. Shrewd? Of course he is. Stupid? No one would call him stupid. So what's he doing with this? I mean, America is now ranks the lowest among all the developed nations, the lowest among all the developed nations in the gap between the rich and the poor. It's the widest. We're in the worst shape of anybody. And we've gone over, we have mountains of socioeconomic data of America's steep decline. We've been writing about it for well over a decade in the Trends Journal and in our other reports. So, going back to the presidential reality show, go back to Saturday night. Clinton wins South Carolina. And what does she do? The whole game changes. She goes on and takes aim at the Trump slogan, Make America Great Again. I just read to you what she said at the end of her speech last night. This country belongs to all of us, not people who think one way. America never stopped being great. Huh. And that's what she says at also on Saturday night after the South Carolina victory. Despite what you hear, we don't need to make America great again. America has never stopped being great. Word for word. So, go back to Warren Buffett. Again, no one would call Warren Buffett stupid or incapable of assessing data, but who wouldn't call him shrewd? Because, by the way, folks, Warren Buffett is a major financial backer and Hillary Clinton supporter. Look it up. The facts are there. That's right. Hold $33,000 a plate fundraisers. Vocal supporter of her. Giving money to her PACs. Yeah. Boy, good thing we don't have those Koch brothers out there, huh? Yeah, the liberals could only look one way. Oh, I forgot. All you Hitlery lovers, all you people that call yourself liberal Democrats, all you little low-life people that lack the courage to know you've been conned by the Clintons and the other people that call themselves liberals, you love those GMOs, don't you, huh? Yeah, they're great. Maybe you like those bovine growth hormones better. That's right. Clintons. They're the ones that pushed it through. She ends her first paragraph of speech last night, and she says, what America needs is more love and kindness. More love and kindness. This is the woman, again, you could go on YouTube and put in Hillary Clinton, CBS, Gaddafi. We came, we saw, he died. Now there's some love and kindness for you. Yeah, love and kindness from a sociopath, maybe a psychopath. Definitely someone out of their mind. Because if you or I ever said anything like that, they'd have the folks with the white jackets taking us away. But not when Hillary does it. No, 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 no. And of course, she plays the finally break down the barriers for women line. And get it all in there, you know, LGBT. People forget that they were against gay marriages. They were against gays in the military. But they changed their tune, man, and the liberals forget it, man. They give them a free ride and say, well, he's better than Bush. That's what they always do. So, yeah, you got it, man. A very disgusting spectacle of human behavior. And then again, Trump. My God, what an arrogant jerk this guy is. He's so full of himself. Listening to that speech of his last night, the way he talks to reporters and everybody else. And he's a liar. He lies one lie after another. He says he would get against the invasion of Libya and the overthrow of Gaddafi. You could go on, go to BuzzFeed and put in Trump in Libya. There's a whole video of him. We got to get rid of that guy. He's killing thousands of people. And we're going to make them pay for it with their oil. Oh, yeah. I saw thousands of Muslims protesting, cheering, rather, when the towers came down on 9/11. You saw them? Could you show me a photo? I mean, they didn't erase the video. I mean, there's all the archives of TV. Could you show me any of that? No, I don't have to. And by the way, Salenti, I don't like what you're saying. And you have a magazine, the Trends Journal, and you're a journalist. You don't have First Amendment rights when I become president because I'm going to sue you. That's right. Campaign 2016. Trump or Clinton, Hitler or Hitlery. People want to believe that there's something going on behind the scenes. And there's the Illuminati over there. Well, if there's an Illuminati, the un-Illuminati are the front men. There was a two-day series in the New York Times that began on Sunday. It goes, this is the headline, Clinton quotes smart power and a dictator's fall. Front page. In the throes of the Arab Spring, Colonel Muammar al-Gaddafi was facing a furious revolt in Libya by Libyans, determined to end his quixotic 42-year rule. That's the propaganda they put in there. Quixotic, you know, as in Don Quixote, you know, waving at windmills, means that it was totally ineffective. Quixotic and 42-year rule don't go together. He made dictator, call him what you want, Libya was the most prosperous country in Africa. And the people did better than most any place else in that area. He stopped the migrant crisis from happening when he was in charge. But that's the way they set it up. So right away they get you to, hate Gaddafi. The dictator's forces were approaching Benghazi, the crucible of the rebellion, and threatening a bloodbath. And it goes on. In her suite at the Westin Hotel, Miss Clinton and Mr. Jibril, a political scientist with a doctorate from University of Pittsburgh, spoke at length about the fast-moving situation in Libya. Okay, this guy, Jibril. Wow, he's a doctorate from the University of Pittsburgh. Oh, woo, wow, mon ami, hey, whoa! Hey, she's speaking to one guy. Yeah, guy that left Libya because he had fallings out with Gaddafi that goes on to become the prime minister after they overthrow Gaddafi. So here she goes. Miss Clinton was won over. Opposition leaders, quote, said all the right things about supporting democracy and inclusivity and building Libyan institutions, providing some hope that we might be able to put this off, said Philip H. Gordon, one of Miss Clinton's assistant secretaries. Opposition leaders said all the right things. One guy says all the right things. Oh, and let's get this straight too. The three prime movers that pushed Obama into the Libyan war, that's right, Hillary Clinton, Samantha Powers, and Susan Rice. Again, doesn't make any difference, men or women. Not a gender issue. Megalomaniacs, psychopaths, and sociopaths come in all races, creeds, colors, and genders. Just to keep it straight, because I'm tired of hearing this anymore. So, let's break down what Philip H. Gordon. They're H. Gordon. They always put their initial in there, you know. Anyway, Mrs. Clinton was won over. One little lowlife named Jibril, who they chastised later on for never showing up, having a bad attitude, and putting everybody else down and driving the country into this hellhole that it is now, convinces Clinton. Again, no Illuminati. It's right here. Clinton was won over. Opposition leaders, quote, said all the right things about supporting democracy and inclusivity and building Libyan institutions, providing some hope that we might be able to pull this off. I got to keep this clean about pulling off. We? Who's this? Philip H. Gordon talking about the we, not we, a close-knit circles of sick, incompetent, arrogant people. The Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Bullets, Bombs, and Banks Club. That's all they are. We, that we could pull it off. What have they pulled off successfully? Oh, I forgot. Excuse me? I'm sorry. Vietnam. I forgot. What a wonderful war that was. Only killed about 3.5 million innocent Vietnamese, destroyed the country, polluted it with Agent Orange, napalmed them. Oh, they pulled that one off. Oh, no, I forgot. No. Oh, I know. Iraq. That's right. I forgot. They pulled that one off. That we could pull it off. That's all they're doing. They're masturbating in public, pulling it off. What a wonderful job you pulled off over there. Only killed over a million, destroyed the country. Oh, no future for anybody. I wonder why they hate us. Couldn't cause conditions for radicalism. No. No, we were there to bring, what's this word? Building institutions and providing hope that we may be able to pull this off. Supporting democracy. Supporting democracy and building institutions. How many times are you going to throw these cheap lines out? And how long are people going to keep swallowing them? Hey, but when it comes from Philip H. Gordon, then it's different. He's an assistant secretary of state. Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks. Yeah, go back to that Woodrow Wilson, president of Princeton University, that brought us into World War I when it was ready to end, gave us the Federal Reserve. Go up and down the list. Harvard, Princeton, Yale, the elites are in charge. The rest of us don't count. He goes on to say, Philip H. Gordon does, they gave us what we wanted to hear. They gave us. You don't count. You're not an us. They gave us this closed little circle of arrogant sociopaths. They gave us what we, not me and you. We don't count. We're not allowed to know anything. They think for us. We are just there to pay them to live the royal lives that they live and shut your mouth, obey orders, because we're going to have the military mindset that controls the entire country. If you step out of line, you'll be put back in. Don't go over that, by the way, don't go over that yellow line when you're driving. Make sure your brakes aren't on when another car's coming at you. You didn't have your signal light on. How many drinks did you have? Put your hands on the roof. Yeah. So, that's the we. They gave us what we wanted to hear. They gave us what we wanted to hear. There is no Illuminati. What you see is what it is. By the way, if you don't believe me, go to our website, trendsresearch.com. Get the video of, it says, Salenti Roberts Null. Gary Null, of course, was here at our conference in September, this past September. And Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, the assistant, former assistant treasury secretary under Ronald Reagan, telling what the deal was and what was going on behind the scenes. There is no Illuminati. You got an Illuminati or an un-Illuminati making all the decisions. And then he ends up, they gave us what we wanted to hear, and you do want to believe. So that's where they put the you in. And you do want us to want to believe. It's we and us. And then when it's a screw up, it becomes what you wanted to believe. This article goes on and on and on. I suffered through reading the whole thing. It never ended. And shows you all of the lies, the deceptions. Hey, remember Obama? He was going to be the most transparent president we ever had. Yeah, he's so transparent you could see right through him. A fraud, a disgusting liar of a human being. President Obama ultimately took her side, according to the administration officials who described the debate. After he signed, you ready for this transparency? After he signed a secret document called a presidential finding, approving a covert operation, a list of approved weaponry was drawn up. The shipments arranged by the United States and other Western countries generally arrived through the port of Benghazi and airports in eastern Libya. You got it? He signed a secret document called a presidential finding. A presidential finding. And they use these terms. What president? This is the community organizer from Chicago that was put in office by the Pritzker family? Oh, the Pritzker family, yeah. The people that own the Hyatt Hotel chain? And now Penny Pritzker's the commerce secretary cutting the deal with Cuba? So they can, you think they're going to be building Hyatt Hotels over there? Presidential finding. Flunky finding. Finding of a sick man to kill innocent people because of their psycho trip. Oh, calm down. Calm down. I'm sorry I raised my voice. I should be more respectful because, after all, Philip H. Gordon, you know, that they provided hope that we would be supporting democracy and building Libyan institutions. Oh, that was the presidential finding. Would he find it in a pile of crap? And they do one after another like this. They supported the so-called militants that we're trying to kill today. They destroyed a prosperous country that was no threat to us and none of our business. Go back to Flint. Hey, the water stinks. Your kids are getting sick. You'd be ruined for life. We have wars to fight. We have presidential findings to look at. We have drone strikes to make. What do we care about Flint? We will only use Flint when it comes to our advantage, like we do everything else. It's sick out there. It's a freak show of the first order. And it's just getting worse. Again, one lie after another. One foreign entanglement after another. You know, they had an article in yesterday's New York Times. I'm talking about the Illuminati. And how people want to think there's something else going on behind the scenes. And then when you don't agree with what they're talking about, they call you a conspiracy theorist. Now, I want to make this clear before I speak about what I'm going to speak about. I am no fan of Donald Trump's. He disgusts me. He's an arrogant, self-centered, egomaniac who's in it for his own trip. A liar, one lie after another, and a bully to the little people. So what I'm going to read has nothing at all to do with me liking or disliking Trump. It has nothing at all to do with it. It has to do with how they set us up. Here we go. This is in yesterday's New York Times. Big story. Whole half a page. On top, Trump gives conspiracy theories a conduit into presidential politics. It was a question that most major presidential candidates would have quickly dismissed as absurd, even offensive. Right, before I go further, what most presidential candidates, who are the most presidential candidates? A bunch of freaks. Rubio, Cruz, Christie, Carson. We're Abbott and Costello. Well, I shouldn't know. They were great. I shouldn't put them in the same category. But they build up. This is the way the propaganda works. That when you talk about who, the president, Hillary, who are these great Sanders, B.S. Bernie? Anyway, what do you make of these theories that Justice Antonin Scalia was murdered? Trump says, quote, They say they found a pillow on his face, which is pretty unusual place to find a pillow. And that happens to be a fact. The guy that owns this ranch, that we now find out that this was this cult, this secret group that was meeting there, it's there for everybody to look at, comes out and his first words are that, yeah, Scalia didn't show up for breakfast. They went to the room and he said he had a pillow on his face. All right. How many of you out there sleep with a pillow on your face, on your back? So does it sound suspicious? Does it sound suspicious it was a secret club, that there was no autopsy, they didn't call anybody in there, they just took them right out? It sounds suspicious. That's not being over the top. Then they go on to say, Mr. Trump, unlike most presidential candidates, does not shrink away from addressing and in some ways legitimizing, you ready for this? The wildest of hypotheticals. He has declared on a presidential debate stage that he knew a two-year-old who immediately developed autism from a vaccination. How dare he? How dare he? That's propaganda from the toilet paper of record. Oh no, they call themselves the New York Times, the paper of record. Anyone, I mean, Gary Null could rip this to shreds with his knowledge about the connections between vaccinations and autism. Again, you know, I'm of that first wave of baby boomers. There were like 40 kids in my class when I went to school. Nobody ever knew anybody with autism. He knew a couple of kids, you know, that had brothers and sisters that, you know, had serious birth defects, but only a few. There was no such thing. What caused it? Why should I believe the medical establishment? Hey, ladies, keep taking that hormone. You remember that, right? Oh, yeah, if you didn't take it and you didn't believe it, well, I guess you were one of these people the New York Times would have said the wildest of hypotheticals. And then you found out that this hormone that they wanted you to take caused cancer and other diseases, the ones they said that was going to stop. So that's how they set you up. If you disagree with them, you're a conspiracy theorist. They're prostitutes. They're immoral people. He goes on to say, he has appeared on the radio show of the noted conspiracy theorist, Alex Jones. Ooh, wow. Boy, I'm on Alex Jones a lot. Been on him a lot. He's always been a gentleman to me, as their staff, they're great. They never, ever tried to have me agree with anything that they've said or to support their stand. They had me on there to say what I had to say. When you have questioned me about what I wanted to say, but never pushed their thoughts onto me. I used to be on Oprah, the Today Show, Good Morning America, CBS, CNBC, Bloomberg, name them. From O'Reilly to Brian Williams. Brian, I was, you know, in them helicopters when we were getting shot at, you know, in the Iraq War. That Brian Williams. Been on with every one of them. Katie Couric. Name them. They don't have me on anymore, because I won't toe the line. But yet they'll take a cheap shot at Alex Jones. Conspiracy theorists, because you don't believe in them? How about calling the New York Times a rag, the toilet paper that sold us into every war that we've been in? Hey, folks, Remember the New York Times selling us the big lie that Saddam Hussein had aluminum tubes and was baking that yellow cake? Yeah, getting them weapons of mass destruction and nuclear weapons all set. Yeah, that New York Times. And they have the nerve to call other people conspiracy theorists? That's no conspiracy, what I said. That's a fact. The Warhawks, the disgusting people in the New York Times that keep selling hate and propaganda. I read you the opening paragraph of that story about Hillary Clinton. Or the second paragraph, to be accurate. In the throes of the Arab Spring, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi was facing furious revolt by Libyans determined to end his quixotic 42-year rule. Again, Don Quixote and 42-year rule don't go together. But they set it up because they like to do propaganda so they can get you to hate the person right away. Because the next line is, the dictator's forces were approaching Benghazi. Hey, New York Times, could you call the king of Saudi Arabia a dictator? Oh, no, Salenti, he's a king. Yeah, a princess kissed a frog, and the frog became the king. I forgot. How about that emir over there in Bahrain and Qatar? How about them? They're not dictators. No, they're emirs. You got your spelling wrong. You got to spell right. How about the military dictatorship of Egypt? How about the military dictatorship that we, the people of the United States, as our cities are rotting in front of us, have no money? The Flint or Detroit or Hoosick Falls are giving billions of dollars to their military against the laws of the United States. We are not supposed to provide military armaments to a country whose government was overthrown by military rule. And the general running Egypt took off one uniform and put on a suit, and he calls himself president. New York Times ever call him a dictator? Not on your life. I was watching last night Marco Rubio. By the way, again, I got to watch this stuff. The last thing I want to do is watch these people. Ugh. You listen to his speech when he's going after Trump. After every phrase he says, every sentence, he comes out with this stupid little smile. After everyone. And then he went after Trump for saying that Trump wanted to treat the Palestinians in talking about the Israeli-Palestinian, or Israel turning Palestinian, actually. They will never say it, into the apartheid state. That he only stands by Israel. Same with Rubio. Hey, wait a minute. If black lives matter, don't Palestinian lives matter? Who made up this stuff that we have to stand by Israel? I don't stand by anybody. I'm Italian-American. My blood is Italian. My heart's American. I could care less. Do I care what happens in Italy? Of course. It's not my business. Don't you tell me I have to support Israel or I have to support any other country. You're a traitor. Anybody that puts another country on top of our country is a traitor to what this country was founded upon. We held Occupy Peace here this past September. And of course, Gary Null was one of the speakers. OccupyPeace.us. You all can hear it. Go to the website. The founding fathers, beginning with George Washington, a real commander in chief, not these little boys and girls that talk tough like Trump. I'm going to build the biggest military. Nobody's going to mess with us. What kind of adult speaks like that? Nobody's going to mess with us. Hey, Junior, go lead the charge. Go send your boys. Dress them up. Send them out to the front lines. Every one of the founding fathers, beginning with George Washington, no foreign entanglements. A warrior. Washington was a warrior. Like him or not, all the other things attached to it. And by the way, all you folks out there that have lived the perfect lives and never did anything wrong, yeah, there's a special place not only on heaven, but on earth for you. So get over the trip that other going over everybody's life and picking apart the things that they did that aren't, you know, of the best of moral intentions. We've all committed what we would, have you ever been calling repenting for sins? Washington was a warrior. The founding fathers developed the Constitution. Again, taken from the Iroquois Nation because of the greatness of what it represented. Every one of the founding fathers were against foreign entanglements. And little Marco Rubio, Donald Trump, and Cruz and the rest of you war hawks, Hitlery, the world was at war big time back then. Anybody forget Napoleon's march a couple of years later to Moscow when he leaves Poland with 123,000 men and comes back with 10,000? No foreign entanglements. But yet this fat mouth Cruz, you know, we're for Israel, right or wrong. No, I'm not for Israel, right or wrong. I'm not for Israel, what they're doing at all. I want justice and morality. And I don't want to hear about the Bible stories that God was a real estate agent and the Bible was a land deed. But yet they get away with this, and they keep doing it. And Hitler is doing the same thing. So going back to the Presidential Reality Show and where we are, what a year this was. And by the way, there's one thing I like about Trump. By him coming into the race, it would have been a Jeb Bush, Hillary Clinton race. He took the top guy out because he knows how to fight in terms of being shrewd. Not as a man fighter. Again, he didn't go to Vietnam. He got a draft deferment. They asked him how he got the deferment. He said he had a bone spur on his ankle. I had a bone spur on my ankle, too. That didn't keep me out. And he couldn't even remember which ankle it was on. You think his old man bought his way out? So, again, going back to the whole situation here and who we're looking at and the war hawks, and the criminals, and the criminality. They're all preaching war. No one is preaching peace. Trump, what I said, the only thing I like about him is he's shown what a freak show it all is by him being the presidential reality show champion. You cannot make this up. A reality show champion is now the top Trump card in the presidential reality show. You couldn't write this script. And that's all it is. So that's why I'm thankful for Trump. He showed what a fraud this thing is. It would have been a dull and boring campaign had he not come in here. And again, you can see where Hillary is going. Right away, the first things that she did in her speech last night was to go after Trump. They know that Trump is going to be the guy. They're shrewd people. Again, her line is, this country belongs to all of us, not people who think one way. America never stopped being great. Again, you read her, read our trend alert, read what she said in Flint, about Flint, read what she said following her speech in South Carolina after a victory on Saturday. Read her victory speech last night. And the words are there in front of you. They're undeniable. She is taking the words, and it was set up by Warren Buffett. And we're the only people that have pointed that out. Despite what you hear, we don't need to make America great again. America has never stopped being great. And the headlines running Friday, Saturday, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, were Warren Buffett saying, quote, this is the headline from CNBC, Warren Buffett, quit your crying. The U.S. is fine. So it's one charade. On to the closing out here, taking a look at geopolitics. There's more talk now with more troops on the ground going into Iraq. America's becoming more involved in Libya, and they fixed it fine before, so now they're going to fix it even better. And the other one is more troops into Afghanistan. Afghanistan is falling apart. One report after another. The desertions in the military and the police in Afghanistan by Afghans is at record highs. The Taliban are making great advancements into Helmand Province and other areas. And what our military is coming up with, another plan for defeat. And they do it again with the high levels of arrogance. And that's what they're selling as well for more involvement in Iraq and more involvement in Syria, more involvement in Libya, because one failure isn't good enough for them. They have to double up on their failures. And you could, you know, one of the sites, by the way, I strongly recommend people to go to see really, you know, they do a great job in a very quick fashion, is antiwar.com. And again, you know, consider supporting these people as well. Here's the first headline. 3,841 killed in Iraq during February. 3,841. Yep. I'll tell you folks, that war is going to be, quote, a cakewalk. Yeah. Remember that? A cakewalk. And don't worry about it. We're going to pay it off with the oil that we get. And that's Donald Trump's policies right now. UK troops headed to Tunisia to keep ISIS off Libya border. Oh, yeah. I guess those UK troops, they can't get over their colonial trip along with the French that are back into Mali. And, of course, the United States imperialism. Here we go. Citing desertions, Afghan troops quit checkpoints. Huh. And again, I was just mentioning this, and I hadn't looked at this yet. It's every day because I read these things all the time. Citing growing shortages of troops because of widespread desertions, the Afghan military withdrew about 100 troops and police from checkpoints around the village of Yaqdan in the Uruzgan province, leaving the village effectively under Taliban rule, or as Obama calls them, Taliban. Like, hey, Mr. Taliban, tally me banana. So, it's a, and again, they're going to, more troops. That's our answer to this. More violence. More hatred. No one's speaking about peace. No one. Hey, remember they overthrew that government over there in Ukraine? Yeah, Victoria Nuland. Yep. Our Assistant Treasury Secretary of State, and they had McCain go over there, and we got to get rid of that dictator, Yanukovych, who was elected by the people, and they staged a coup. Well, guess what the headline is now? The Ukrainian government has issued a new decree today barring all employees from publicly criticizing the government or any institutions or any of their colleagues. Now that's democracy. Yeah, that's the kind of democracy that low-life clown that they quote in the New York Times about supporting democracy and inclusivity and building institutions that we do around the world for Philip H. Gordon. Yeah, that kind of, yeah, that's the government we put in place. Oh, and by the way, folks, several billion dollars already sent to this corrupt government. Can't fix the water in Flint? You know, cares about the water in Flint. We have money to steal to give to the military industrial security complex. Oh, by the way, Obama's signing more secret orders for them to look at us and watch us as well. So there we have it. That's where we're going. And you look at one piece of news after another, more. You know, we're trying to keep Occupy Peace going, and we put a lot of our own money into it last year. And I know billionaires and multimillionaires, not a penny from them. No one wants to give to peace. If you do, please go to OccupyPeace.us and give what you like, but don't give it all. Because here's the other thing to consider thinking about. Playback history. I mentioned that low-life person who should rot in hell, Warren Woodrow Wilson. Again, what mother would name a kid Woodrow? Shows you how arrogant they are. They want you to stand out and be different. That got us in, lied us into the war. He lied us into World War I after promising he wouldn't get us into it if he was reelected. Franklin Roosevelt, promising he wouldn't get us into World War II. And then got reelected and got us into World War II. Johnson, promising if he got elected, he would get us out of Vietnam. Didn't. Escalated the war. Tricky Dick Nixon. I got a plan to get us out of Vietnam. A secret plan. Can't tell you now, but when you elect me, I'll bomb Laos and Cambodia and escalate the war. I only lied to you because I'm a sick SOB like all the rest before me. And hey, and how about that Obama, huh? No more boots on the ground in Afghanistan and Iraq. Nobel Peace Prize winner that starts the war. I'm mentioning this because we need peace and we need it very, very much as a major movement. Because the next war, or the last war, because it'll be the war that was warned about by Einstein when they asked him what weapons will be used to fight the Third World War. He said, I don't know what weapons will be used to fight the Third World War, but the Fourth World War will be fought with sticks and stones. They will set us up for war after this election. The economies around the world are in vast decline. Look at the numbers. They don't lie. The prostitutes do. So GDP coming out of Europe barely budged. So, that's it for today. This is Trends in the News. See you next week. Sempre pra calar a dar mano, Benny.